Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Very good to, and Happy New Year, too. It's very good to be back with you again this morning. So great to see you all here today. So as we kick off 2025. And before I preach to us today on the topic of rest, how about I just pray for us quickly as we look at these passages. Dear Lord, I really pray that you would just be with me now. Help me to speak faithfully, calmly, confidently, and clearly. And I pray that you would really bless this time that we have together, Lord, to honouring and glorifying you. And we really pray all these things, Father, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. On page one of our Bibles, we learn that our God is a God of rest. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that. We also learn that we were made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that. And that is why the Old Testament commands to rest that we just had read, particularly the Sabbath, make sense. All right, we could put the logic simply like this. Our God is a God of rest. We're made in his image. So we must also rest. Hence the Sabbath command that God gave to us. I don't want to take away from the profundity and the practicality of these truths. Profundity because God didn't need to be a God of rest, but he is. Do you ever think about that? God doesn't need to rest, but he chooses to. In fact, it's a core part of his being. Similarly, he didn't need to design us to need rest either, but he did because we were made in his image. So because our God is a God of rest, he made us as requiring rest also. Practically, this then means that even in our bustling world, we must accept the fact that we are designed by God to rest. Whether we like it or not, we need rest. We have to sleep. We have to take a day off. We have to take breaks. In fact, rest is actually ultimately the high point of what man was made for. I will come to this later, but ultimately man was made for rest. So rest is very important. We could write a whole post on the profundities and the practicalities of this issue. But in discussing the Sabbath command and our need for rest, we can't stop there because the Bible doesn't. The Bible does not stop with a Sabbath. We forget that sometimes. It doesn't just stop with what the Old Testament tells us about rest. Often people do. They read that God rested on the seventh day, that he called us to rest in places like the Ten Commandments, and they assume that that means taking a day off is the main biblical teaching about rest, and it just leaves us at that, that we're supposed to just strictly observe that command, and then that's the end of it. But that is not the end of it in the Bible. What is taught in the Old Testament about rest is only the foundation. It's the substructure of the biblical teaching about rest. The main teaching about rest, the superstructure, you could say, is much more Christ-centered. Okay? Jesus actually taught that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, as we'll come to soon. Our God of rest commanding us to rest was always, in fact, meant to point us to the Christ of rest, if that makes sense. This means that the Sabbath command specifically is not just a call for us to take a day off and rest, although it does include that. It's ultimately a call to seek Christ-centered true rest. It was always meant to point us to the Christ of rest. That is why when the God of rest himself took on flesh in Jesus Christ, he stood up and entreated people in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He was speaking mainly to Jewish people when he said this because those Jewish people knew the buzzword rest. They knew about this word rest. It was a great buzzword in Jewish kosher culture. And they knew that that pointed to the Sabbath command. So they knew that Jesus was making the connection between that and the Sabbath, their very important Sabbath that the Jews still observe today. But here was a man saying that if you came to him, you would actually find that Sabbath rest. Not in just observing the day, not in just taking the Sabbath day off, but actually in coming to him. That's where you would actually find this rest ultimately. Moreover, he was saying that if you came to him, not only would you find physical Sabbath rest, but something much greater. Something they knew the Sabbath rest was more importantly about. You'd actually find rest for your soul. That's what he was saying. True shalom-like rest. The true rest that we are actually designed for. So here Jesus is saying, I am the fulfillment of that Sabbath rest. That's what he's telling us. That God-designed rest that you need is not going to be found only from not working once a week. You actually must come to me for that rest ultimately. So he says, that Sabbath rest, that Sabbath command, that ultimately was actually just pointing to me. It was pointing to something much greater than just observing a day off. Now, you might say in that passage in Matthew, you might perhaps say, this is speculation. How do we know Jesus is speaking about the Sabbath rest here, particularly in that passage in Matthew where he talks about rest? Well, I think this is the thing. A lot of people miss this. The gospel writer Matthew actually makes it quite clear for us that he is pointing and talking towards the Sabbath here, because the chapter distinctions that have been added, which remember are not inspired, those were a later addition to the actual text. The chapter distinctions in this section actually blur this for us a little bit, unfortunately, because the very next story, immediately after Jesus says what he says about rest and coming to him for rest, the very next story immediately following this in Matthew is about Jesus and the Sabbath. Okay, in Matthew 12 verses 1 to 8, he then talks about the Sabbath. This is no coincidence. It's the story where Jesus makes clear to the people that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what he's telling us now. The Sabbath, in other words, is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's ultimately all it was supposed to point towards. So in other words, putting Matthew 11 and Matthew 12 together, Jesus first stands up and says that when you come to him, you get true rest for your souls. And then in the next story, he emphasizes that he's Lord over the Sabbath, meaning the call for a physical Sabbath rest and the Sabbath itself has never mainly been about the Sabbath. It's always actually all been about Jesus. Like everything in the Bible, it was always, always meant to be all about Jesus. So not only is our God of rest, not only do we need rest, but coming to Jesus is the true Sabbath rest. That's the real Sabbath that we're searching for. So the question then becomes, what is this Christ-centered rest that Jesus is talking about? What is this rest, this Christ-centered rest? Well, How is the Sabbath, I suppose, specifically fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Well, to begin with, we must say that what this means is rest is ultimately found in the gospel, as Jesus said, the true rest for our souls. Those who come to Christ find present and eternal rest for their souls in the gospel right now and in eternity. That gospel where we're saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, that actually gives us the true rest that we are, that our souls are searching for. In other words, all of this was pointing towards the joyful eternal rest that we have through Jesus Christ now in the gospel that we will, I guess, that will be fulfilled when we one day enter heaven and we'll enjoy an eternal, joy-filled Sabbath rest with Christ in heaven. That's what we're ultimately looking forward to. As we know, that's what God is going to tell us when we enter heaven. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter your master's kingdom now and rest. That's what we were ultimately made for. So ultimately, we know that's what that Sabbath rest is that Jesus is referring to. However, we do still have to ask, what would this Christ-centered Sabbath-fulfilled rest include, practically speaking, right now? In finding an answer, there's actually two opposite errors, that we have to avoid in doing this. That I think help guide us in understanding the Sabbath and the rest and what it means to us. The first error that a lot of people make, and that the Jews obviously made, was downplaying Christ's rest. What I mean by that is, the first error that you can make is you focus too much on physical rest, as in, you know, observing the command about the Sabbath, for example, and that having and strictly taking a day off and not working, but downplaying Christ in that rest, forgetting what that rest was actually meant to point towards. Christians who do not properly connect the Old Testament Sabbath command to Christ's fulfillment of it in Matthew 11 to 12 and Mark chapter 2 verse 27 that we had read can often fall into this error. The error here is trying to obey everything physical about the Sabbath command, strictly observing that commandment that was given, and, you know, refusing to work at all that one day a week, but doing so, observing those commands like the Jews did, without understanding what it actually meant, and doing so with little regard for Christ, doing so without any concern for what the real meaning of this Sabbath was supposed to be. Those who do this, they tend to think that if they're just obeying the Sabbath command, if they merely take a day off work a week, then they're honouring God. That's part of what Jesus was rebuking in the Jews. It's not just about strict, you know, it's not about the letter of the law. It's about what actually the meaning of the law ultimately is, what this was pointing towards. And so in sum, people here who, you know, the mistake that some people make is they know that they do need to take a rest, they do need a day off, they sometimes try to observe the Sabbath still today, but they don't connect the Sabbath day to Christ's Sabbath rest that he referred to, that ultimately it was supposed to mean for us. And The second error that we make sometimes is we can downplay the importance of physical rest. Sometimes, of course, because we know that so much of, well, everything about the Old Testament law was fulfilled in Jesus, sometimes we can come to the point where we forget the fact and neglect the fact that we still need physical rest as well. Okay? That was part of it. It's not undermining or taking away from the fact that we still have to rest physically and mentally, okay? Our bodies and our souls, we were made for rest ultimately. That's what God designed us for. And so we can also make the emphasis of so emphasizing Christ's Sabbath rest fulfillment of these commands that it's sometimes forgotten that you still need physical rest as well, that you do still need to rest and take a break, that it is good to take a day off, that we still need sleep, all these different factors. As we discussed, God being a God of rest, that is who he is, and he designed us in his image to be people who need rest as well, and so we all require physical rest as well. However, all the teachings about physical rest are only the foundation of the biblical teaching on rest. That's the thing. Everything about the Sabbath is only the foundation of what the Bible teaches us about rest. Biblical rest, true biblical rest, is much more Christ-centered than just that. And yet, you do have to have the foundation before, you know, otherwise it all falls apart. So, true biblical rest avoids these two errors. It avoids both errors. The Old Testament truths about God being a God of rest and us needing physical rest are the substructure, the foundation of what the Bible says about rest. We can't stop there. We can't rest in an unfinished house, so to speak. The superstructure of rest is the Christ-centered rest that we find in the New Testament now. That's the ultimate superstructure of what the Bible is telling us about rest. We not only need physical rest, we need our rest to include the Sabbath rest that we find in Christ. And that's what our souls are ultimately searching for, which will be fulfilled and consummated in heaven. Biblical Sabbath-fulfilled rest, therefore, is a gospel-driven, Christ-centered rest for our physical bodies and our spiritual souls, or you could say a physical rest is supposed to point us to something greater, towards the ultimate rest we have in Jesus. So, what does this look like just in our day-to-day lives, practically speaking? Well, first of all, I encourage you to ask yourself a question. What would it look like for me to seek physical rest while also making sure I maintain a gospel-driven, Christ-centered focus? Okay, what would it mean for me to observe the importance of rest and how we are made in God's image in that way, but to do so in a way that is always gospel-driven and focused on Christ? In each of us answering that, I think we find the fulfillment of the biblical Sabbath rest. So our answer should include things like taking a day off. That's the thing. Don't hear me wrong. I think it is, even though the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus, I think it's still good to take a day off. I think having rest, taking weekends, those things are important. But we must also include ways in which we focus on Christ. This means that during times of rest, even, we make sure that Christ is sought and loved. We don't just sleep, we also pray and we talk to Christ. We don't just relax, we also focus on reading our Bibles. We don't just veg, we actually should seek serious rest-giving fellowship with other believers when we actually rest. That's what our focus should be. I used to make that mistake myself. I used to strictly observe the Sabbath or one day off a week when I was a teenager, to the point where even if I had an exam the next morning, I would refuse to work on the Sunday, thinking that was, you know, very, very honouring to God. Yet the reality was, in my heart, deep down, really the only big motive I liked about the Sabbath was the fact that I got a day off and that I could just sleep in and relax and watch movies and do what I wanted on a day. And see, that's not what the purpose of the Sabbath is supposed to be ultimately. It's not just about vegging and, you know, you enjoying yourself. It's actually supposed to be finding that joy in Jesus. So we should pursue Christ and the rest he offers throughout all our days. And in fact, that actually means even on our working days as well. So even on days where we're working, in one sense, we should still be living that Sabbath or pursuing that Christ, that Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It means that even when we're awake and we're working, Christ and the gospel are still central to everything that we do. That, I believe, is the biblical answer to what this Christ-centered, Sabbath-fulfilled rest actually looks like. We maintain physical rest while constantly seeking Christ's spiritual rest. And finally, I've given a few Since this series is on rest and on the practical, or just on rest generally and what the Bible teaches us about rest, I have sort of, you know, got a few overarching practicalities and suggestions about things that we should do to rest, to try and, you know, that help you to rest, because I think the Bible does say that we are supposed to take a break from work. That's what we were designed for ultimately. So things like taking a day off, sleeping, reading the Bible, praying, reminding yourself of the gospel are all very important things to be doing with our rest time. But I'd be mistaken, I think, to make it sound like the Bible gives us a definitive list for what those Sabbath rest days specifically look like now, or what the Sabbath rest looks like. It doesn't give us a specific list anymore of what that is supposed to look like for us. It doesn't do that, and I think that's purposeful, because those ideas that are listed are just the basic building blocks. Each of us, there are many, many things that we're given a lot of freedom really now about the Sabbath. Like so many things, Jesus gives us so much freedom now from the Sabbath and many other laws in the Old Testament. And so we're given freedom now to actually choose how we actually rest in a way that honors God, how we can honor Christ and enjoy the rest that we take in a way that actually is pointing towards Him. We each have personal enjoyments which might uniquely help lead us to Christ, point us to Christ. Perhaps it's enjoying time in nature, walking, exercising, reading books, hobbies, sports. All those things can actually help us enjoy the wonderful things that God has given us and help point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if those things help do that for you, then you should do those when you rest. All these are good gifts from God's hands given to us for rest, and they can help us find the true biblical, gospel-driven, Christ-centered rest that I'm talking about. But through it all, to fulfill the Christ-centered Sabbath rest, we must make sure that our rest, that is a full-scaled building of rest, a rest which has both the substructure and the superstructure of rest, we must make sure that that is ultimately focused on Christ and His gospel. To be even clearer, because the entire law is fulfilled in Christ and is no longer binding on believers in the same way that it once was, we cannot say that we must strictly observe rest 1 in 7 days a week. I know it might sound bold to say that, but I think it's fair to say that we can say that we are not strictly bound to have to observe one Sabbath day a week anymore. Okay? Because God, Jesus Himself said, the Sabbath is fulfilled in me. In fact, it was always made for man, and it was meant to point towards Him, and I've released you from that burden now. And neither can we say that the rest must be on Saturday, because that's, of course, what the Sabbath was in the Old Testament. So we don't have to observe a Sabbath rest on Saturday anymore. And those who say that the Sabbath day has just moved to Sunday, that is also incorrect, I believe. There's very little biblical support to say that the Sunday is actually a Sabbath day now. It doesn't actually say that. The New Testament never says that the Sabbath moved from Saturday to Sunday, did you know that? Rather, it simply calls Sunday the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1, because Jesus rose on Sunday. And that's when the New Testament church chose to start meeting together, because that was the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And so, in fact, the New Testament actually has two texts that I believe actually tell us that the Old Testament Sabbath command does not apply to us specifically, that we have to observe it anymore. Colossians 2 verses 16 to 17 and Romans 14 verses 5 to 6. So we can't say that that Sabbath command is still binding. Did you know, in fact, that the Sabbath is the only commandment that it's not one of the moral commandments in the Ten Commandments, and it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not specifically reiterated in the New Testament as well. So we must understand that ultimately it was fulfilled in Jesus. And so ultimately rest is not about just observing a day off, it's about how that's fulfilled in the Lord. So this is what I've been arguing. The Sabbath command is no longer binding, but it certainly still taught us our need for rest. The reality is, at the same time, it was designed by God in one sense to show to us the fact that we are made for rest because we're made in God's image. And especially since that command originates in how God designs us, it is good for us and important for us to observe rest, I believe. It is still good to take a day off. You don't have to be strict about it, but it is good to take time off every week. And as a result, though the substructure is still technically no longer binding in the same way, it would be silly to try to pursue the gospel-driven, Christ-centered, Sabbath-fulfilled rest without still taking physical rest sometimes as well. So it's better then to say, as I finish, to sum it up this way, the Sabbath command is no longer binding in the same way, but it did teach us our need for physical rest. Christ's rest in the gospel is the fulfillment of the Sabbath command to rest. That was ultimately what that was pointing towards. But since it's the fulfillment, we do well to still remember and still observe physical rest sometimes, but to do so in a way that focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is actually observing Christ-centered, spiritual, gospel-focused rest. That's the true the Sabbath and the true rest that we're ultimately supposed to be observing. That's what I've tried to argue here, and I believe it's what Christ-centered, Sabbath-fulfilled rest looks like for us as Christians today. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have just taught us that ultimately the Sabbath was fulfilled in Jesus. We thank you, Father, that so many things about the Old Testament law are so extraordinary and so wonderful. And we pray that you would just help us to understand those things, to understand, Lord, how those things are ultimately all fulfilled in Jesus. And as I've taught today, I pray, Lord, that as I understand it, as the Sabbath and the Sabbath rest was just the substructure, the superstructure of rest was Jesus, and the Sabbath, the Christ Sabbath rest. I pray, Lord, you'd show us strictly, Lord, how it is that you want us to try and observe that in our lives and live that out in our lives. And we ask that, Father, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.